Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Mapping the College Audition, a podcast where we explore the landscape of the college theater world and try to demystify this daunting audition process. I'm your host, Charlie Murphy, director of MTCA. That's Musical Theater College Auditions. And today, we've got a You Better Be Pitch Perfect show lined up for you. Nancy Allen from Belmont University is on the pod today for our last episode before our summer break. And boy, do I feel the senioritis coming on as I've been editing this episode. I even got a little silly and did a mid-episode sound drop just for all of you. See if you can catch it. On the pod today, we talk about the underlying Christian mission of Belmont and how it's a Christian university that is far from exclusively Christian. We talk about the classical foundations of training, especially in voice, but also in dance and acting. We talk about the strong emphasis on the music of musical theater and how those skills help in acting and dance as well. We talk about the options, the kind of unique options of Belmont's BFA, BM, and BA degrees. We talk about the comfort and joy of a great audition and the self-exploration that you kind of need to arrive to that place in this process. And then we talk about the importance of pitch. But before the interview, our last little bit of housekeeping. Regular listeners will have heard we're going on this 6-week break starting next week, and that new episodes will still be dropping in your feed. I went through and selected some artists from, especially from early on, that I thought were really interesting conversations, and maybe they weren't all just the flashiest names that you would automatically download when they came across your feed. But I thought that would be maybe helpful for, especially for our current juniors or rising seniors who may have found this pod a little later, so they weren't here last May, but don't necessarily have the time and patience to go back and download all of the artists' episode, so we'll do a bit of curation for you. I stuck with artists since I think the schools are a bit more self-explanatory in terms of which are which and which you might want to go back and listen to. I will say with schools, we will be doing some update episodes with schools that have gotten new programs, as well as going back and catching some schools that have multiple programs where appropriate. This map is very far from complete. I've also really appreciated some of the schools that have reached out because they're listening to the pod. That's so flattering and cool. And that maybe want to come join us. We will absolutely make that happen. If you have a theater school, we're going to have you onto the pod at some point for sure. We are even setting up some interviews during our break. All right. The only other thing I'll say is you'll notice not on this episode I sound fine, but in this beginning and the end as I'm recording this, I have a little bit of a cold. I apologize that right before our summer break, right as we get into it, you're going to hear a little congestion. You're going to hear a little whatever. I don't need to apologize. I sound fine. It's sort of like a Phoebe Buffay thing I've got going on anyway. But without any more ado, let's get to this episode with Nancy Allen from Belmont University. Well, we are honored to be joined by Nancy Allen from Belmont University. Nancy has a BS from Vanderbilt University and then attended the Peabody Conservatory of Music in Baltimore, Maryland, where she received her bachelor's and master's degree. She's performed in musical theater and opera, where she's performed for places like the Nashville Symphony, Nashville Opera Association. She's the head of the musical theater program at Belmont University and an instructor in the classical voice department. Belmont is located in Nashville, Tennessee. They have offer classes of about 15 to 20 of their entering classes. They offer degrees in a BM in musical theater, a BFA in the musical theater major, and a BA in the musical theater major. And we'll talk about all of those distinctions a bit today. Nancy, welcome on the pod. How are you doing?
Hi, thank you. I'm so glad to be here, and I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to everyone about our unique programs at the beautiful Belmont University.
I can't wait. Well, before we jump into the school, just give me a little catch up to today. So in terms of how did you find yourself here, especially your time with the program, catch me up in terms of what your experience has been so far.
Well, when I first started school, I didn't plan on teaching. You may hear that from other people as well. Loved performing, and in my master's program at Peabody, part of the program allowed me to teach voice, and I realized I absolutely loved it. And teaching makes me a better singer and a better performer. So it just goes hand in hand that I started teaching and performing at the same time. And my mentor, who started our program almost 25 years ago, saw me perform, knew my voice, knew my teaching skills, and just took me under her wing and asked me to come along as the program was growing. And I have grown with it for the last 15 years and then took over as coordinator about 8 years ago.
I love it. So in those 8 years of taking over as coordinator, and I guess all 15 really, you probably have gotten a pretty good sense of what your program is. I'd love to talk a bit about, like, what do you think makes a Belmont student?
Interestingly, they tend to be very community-minded. Belmont draws the type of student who wants to contribute in a positive way to the community. It's a Christian university. However, over 50% of our students are not necessarily, don't claim to be Christians. And so there is an underlying Christian mission of, I want to say, goodness and being kind to one another and being supportive and positive. But it is not a situation where there's proselytizing or any kind of conversion thing. I like to tell people, and I hope this doesn't offend anyone, but I like to tell people that Belmont University does this better than any university I've worked with, and we do Christian, not crazy. That's kind of my funny way of saying it. But the students are positive, they're energetic, they're passionate, and like I said, they're community-minded, and it feels very much like a supportive family, but they're also incredibly talented and incredibly driven, and so they do spur one another on towards doing their best.
I love it. Well, and tell me a little bit about the curriculum. So let's imagine I come in as a freshman, I'm open, I'm community-minded, all those things. What am I going to learn over the 4 years, and how am I going to come out changed or maybe even improved?
We have a saying, it's called trust the process. We say it a lot to the point that it becomes a little bit of a joke, but it is true. Over the last 25 years, we have developed a really great process for developing very, very strong performers and very strong company members. Our students, we get comments every summer and every year stating that directors and music directors found our students to be hardworking, incredibly talented, very selfless, fun to work with, fun to be around. And so all of those things are important to us. We want our reputation to be carried by our students into the field, and that is happening. So that process that you've asked about, they are going to experience first and foremost some classical voice training. It's very different than other programs, but this classical voice training is given by voice teachers who are all currently performing in the musical theater world and who know commercial styles and have taught commercial styles for years. So yes, there's a classical foundation being given. Classical foundation in acting, singing, and dance. You start with modern and ballet and dance. And that foundation is really pushed for those first couple of years. Now, that doesn't mean the students don't have opportunities to perform contemporary pieces and to work on their skills in many other areas as well. And the teachers know the material, but we do kind of really hammer those foundational skills. Then, freshman, sophomore year, you're taking music theory, you're taking aural skills, which is ear training, which makes you a great parts learner and a great a fast music learner and a great musician. You take piano, so you get in a music core. You start with your acting classes. We start with movement and then go into acting 1, 2, and 3, and then there are electives and other classes that enhance that acting training. And you start with dance. I just mentioned with modern and then ballet. you go to tap and jazz, and we have three levels in each of those. And so you're layering on these skills while also taking your general education courses. Mm-hmm. And the gen eds are amazing at Belmont. You're part of a community. It's a real college experience, even though the musical theater side feels almost like a conservatory or a technical institute because you're working on those skills. The university side feels like a true kind of college experience. You go to basketball games, you might join a Greek life situation, other campus events. It's a very service-oriented campus. So that's kind of what your world is going to look like.
I love it. Is there a discipline, do you feel like, out of the three, is there a discipline you focus more on, or two out of the three you focus more on? If you sort of describe of the three legs that make up the musical theater stool, is there one that's a little weightier for you?
I'm not going to say weightier because we are training triple threats and our students do go out to, perform in musical theater in all areas. However, we are housed in the School of Music. We're one of only two or three of the top programs that do that. And we do that for a reason. It's called musical theater. The common denominator of our industry is that there is music involved. And so being an innate, incredible musician seems to be very important. I love the fact that our students are trained in dance and in their acting skills, and they might be in the middle of a scene and then transition into a song seamlessly. And that's really important because they're not worried about the voice. They're not worried about the musicianship. They've learned the music. They sight read. And so those skills are kind of innate. And I think that's really important. The other reason I love the fact that we're housed in the School of Music is I do believe that students who want to pursue musical theater, they learn the skills of an actor, and all of our students do straight plays and work in that methodology. However, there's a certain energy that is in a musician and a learning type of skill that you find in students who want to pursue the music side of it. So you might be in a music theory class with a cello player who is also a composition major, who is working on a piece that they want you to learn and sing in their recital. Or you may be in another course with a commercial major who has started a band and they might want you to participate mm-hmm. in some way. So it really makes sense that we're in the School of Music.
Well, while we're there, let's get into this really interesting distinction you have where you offer either a Bachelor of Fine Arts or a Bachelor of Music, and then we'll talk a little bit maybe separately about or the Bachelor of Arts too. But so how does that work in terms of if I'm applying to get into the musical theater program, do I pick or how does that work of what I end up with?
So the BFA and the BM are both under this umbrella of the musical theater program. You do not have to pick. The audition is exactly the same either way. And the faculty really don't know from day to day who's the BFA and who is the BM. Mm-hmm. Several of our students, probably the majority, pick the BFA, 90%. Mm-hmm. But we always have one or two in each class that have chosen the BM because they either they play a lot of instruments and they want to take a little more music to enhance that. They think that down the road, they want to perform for quite a while and then maybe transition into musical direction. Mm-hmm. Also, several of them are compositions, are composers and are composing musicals as they're studying their degree. So the BM kind of enhances that. The only difference in the two degrees is the BM has about 9 more credits of music. There's an electronic music course. They go further with music theory and aural skills. And there's one additional, I believe, music history course. And those are kind of shaved off. I think you have 2 less credits required in dance and 3 or 4 less credits, fewer credits required in the theater department. Mm. So it kind of evens out.
And then tell me a little bit about the BA program too. So you can still get a BA with a musical theater major, which is not always, it's not very common that you would even call it a musical theater major with a BA. Often we say a theater performance major, or theater major. But tell me a bit about how does that work in terms of the Belmont theater major with a BA?
Yeah, the BA is a new degree. It is not a performance degree. And I say that because I don't want a student to choose that and then be disappointed. It is a degree that was designed because so many students were coming to Belmont because they love music, they love performing, but they had other skills as well. You know, maybe they excel in math, or I have one student who is actually a nursing major and a BA major. Mm-hmm. So she's incredibly talented. She's auditioning all over town, working on different things, but didn't feel like she could do the BFA full track performance commitment. And so the BA is a great option for students who maybe want to major in some other, I'm going to say, kind of real job choice.
Those are air quotes for those listening to the podcast.
Yes, those are air quotes. Air quotes. But that who still want to keep their musical theater love alive. They want to study it. They want to take musical theater history. They want to continue with musical theater voice. Mm-hmm. They might take some, this particular degree allows you to take some dance and some theater training. You're in an ensemble. And so there is still that potential.
And then tell me a little bit about, so you mentioned some of the great classes you can take outside of the theater program. As a BFA or a BM, is there the possibility of minors, or how does it work in terms of if I am, I do want to specialize in the musical theater, but I do want to take some other classes. How does that work at Belmont?
Yes, we have several students who have added minors to their degrees. It's easier if you bring in your advanced classes. Different universities do it differently, dual enrollment or, you know, other classes that get you some credits, some college credits. But you don't have to do it that way. But we have minors in everything from public relations, entrepreneurship. The dance minor is really easy to pair with the musical theater major, mm-hmm. so that makes sense. But pretty much across the boards, if there's a minor offered in any of the degrees in at Belmont, then you can pair that with musical theater.
And then tell me about, you mentioned dance, each class has three levels. How does that work with leveling? If I'm a freshman, can I level into the third level, or do you have to take it in a sequential order?
You can level in. Our program director, Debbie Ballou, views all of the dance auditions. She actually runs most of them. If you audition online, she views your dance audition there, and then she places you according to that. If you think that the placement isn't correct, you can re-audition for the dance placement when you get there in August. But typically, she's going to place you where she thinks you need to be in case you have a few, just a little bit of foundational work mm-hmm. that she thinks you need before you can progress. So you're placed either level one, level two, or level three, and then you progress from there. And each semester, she will monitor, and your dance instructors will say what they think you should take next.
I love it. Let's talk a little bit about, so your seniors from kind of senior year into beyond, how do you prepare your students for that launch into the business, you know, basically from that fourth year into whatever's coming next?
I love that question because that's ultimately why they're studying this major, correct? And we really need to understand how to prepare students to go out into the world and work in this industry. I'm really proud our seniors who are launching right now, out of the 15, 13 have professional work, which they are heading into. Several of them got agents. And the only two who didn't, one of them is a super senior, so she's not graduating, but she went through the senior process. And the other is choosing to move to London, where she's going to start her career there. So we got some great results this year. Every year we have exceptional results. And the two things that I hear from our graduates are, number one, they didn't realize how well they were prepared until they got out and they looked around and they thought, wow, I know how to do this and people around me don't. So I'm really proud of that. And I'll tell you what we do to prepare them for auditioning. And then number two, we have this incredible capstone class. I know a lot of programs have a capstone situation where that senior year, they learn about the business of the business. That's kind of the way it's described. And ours in particular, we work on everything from the financial side. We have students who are out living in New York or LA. We have them present their budgets and talk about budgeting. We talk about auditioning, walking in the room. We have mock agent conversations. We actually speak with agents, but we also talk about what questions to ask, how to ask them. We develop the headshot, the resume, And we work on those items all 4 years, but we perfect it senior year. We get backstage and actors access up. We do websites and we do a showcase. So all of that happens in this semester. Mm. And I watch the seniors go from students to professionals within that process. And it's amazing.
It's so cool. I was just going to say, that is the number one thing all of our artists, when we, so half our interviews, we have faculty, then we have half of our artists. Anytime mm-hmm. I would ask a question of like, what do you wish was different about your school? The number one thing is I could have used more help with my budgeting. I could have used more help with just basic adulting skills, stuff like pulling up actors access and just understanding the reality. Often they felt like ready to go in to auditions because they're prepared that way. But some of those other skills, they were not as ready to, you know, that took a couple of years.
No, before we even hit February, I believe we already have walked our students through creating an actor's access profile and creating their website, mm-hmm. Backstage, just all of the things that they need to be keeping up with. We have an exam on who's who in the industry. The students have to memorize current music directors, directors, and choreographers, and what styles they are represented by and what shows they have done, and they have to have that, you know, memorized so that they know when they're going into an audition, what do you wear? What styles are you going to see? Being prepared in that way just takes some of that anxiety away.
Without a doubt.
The second part of that is from the very beginning of your training, starting freshman year, we do mock auditions. We do those in our seminar class in front of each other, in front of the musical theater faculty. You are given an actual call 2 weeks ahead of time. The students prepare for that call the way they would for a professional call. They dress for the part, they pick their music, they come in, they do the audition, and then they get feedback from the faculty saying, here's where you were successful, here's mm-hmm. where we need to work. And then you do that all 4 years. And by the time they're seniors, they are coming in and they are picking great material and they are presenting it well. And they just have honed this skill. And I think that that's one of the biggest changes we've made over the last 5 years that has been very successful.
I love that. What do you feel like is the best kept secret about your school? So what's something that you wish, you know, as students are considering applying, or maybe they have applied or they're making the decision to attend, what's something that you find that students don't always know? And then they're go, oh my God, I wish I'd known that.
I think it's kind of a general concept that because we are a Christian university, private university in Nashville, Tennessee, those things don't go hand in hand with musical theater training when you first think of it. And so I would say that our faculty are amazingly talented and experienced in this industry. So even though we aren't in New York and just right there, you're getting cutting edge information from your faculty. I think that we do the personal touch better than anyone. I have parents all the time say, I can't believe you emailed me back. And I'm like, well, of course I emailed you back. My job is to communicate with the students and the parents and to be there to answer questions mm-hmm. and to create an atmosphere where you have the information you need. So we're very communicative. We're very personal and yet also very professional. I think the reason that we are such a secret is that we have maintained a little bit of a smaller program, and we want to keep that so that we can mm-hmm. remain very personal. And I think people don't realize that Nashville is an up and coming city for performances. We have a show right now called May We All that's being developed. Several shows have been developed here and headed on to Broadway. So I just think sometimes people don't think of Nashville as that either.
Well, I was just going to say, because you mentioned, oh, well, you're not right in New York City where the hub of maybe Broadway is happening. But are there opportunities as we I'm so close to Nashville in the music scene? Are there opportunities that you find students do take in terms of, well, now I'm able to go, I don't know what that would look like exactly, go play in, you know, bars. I've only, you know, seen the TV version of it. But, you know, what would that look like for a student?
Yes. First, I'll say the BFA training program keeps you very busy. So just like any school, there are tons of outside opportunities, but we help you balance whether or not it's right for you and whether your time spent outside of your education is going to be productive. So there's that. But junior and senior year, we do encourage our students to take some of these outside opportunities. We have 4 equity theaters in town, and 2 of those in particular do actually all four of them, but two of them in particular produce musical theater regularly and cast our students in that. And so equity points are available, but more importantly, the equity experience is available. In addition, yes, Music City has tons of opportunities for students to collaborate and to perform with professionals. Our students, like I said, this summer, there are four of our students cast in May We All, which is kind of getting some spin. Heidi Blickenstaff.
Sure.
She is in the show. And so there've been a couple of articles on Broadway World about it. And our students, you know, are hoping that that goes well. And so there are lots and lots of opportunities here.
I love it.
And we do encourage them.
Well, let's take a short break. And on the back end of the break, we'll chat a little about the Belmont audition process.
Great.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right, we are back with Nancy Allen from Belmont. Nancy, I'm going to start off with, in short, what do you think makes a great audition for you?
For us, we, and I say us because the faculty works really well together. We're actually friends and we respect each other and we get along. And Belmont, of course, has several people in the room for the audition. So I think we all are looking for someone who's really comfortable in who they are. And that is tough at 17 or 18 years old to find that. So, you know, kind of doing some exploration and knowing who you are and what you're about and being comfortable with that. And then also we're looking for joy. And I don't say happiness because you don't have to come in all bubbly and happy, mm-hmm. but an innate joy in what you're doing. You're auditioning to become a professional performer and entertainer. And so if the audition is not entertaining and we don't feel that you are enjoying yourself while you're doing mm-hmm. it, we're going to question that you would be a person we would want to do that for 4 years with. So joy and comfort, I think, are that kind of sounds like a Christmas carol, doesn't it?
Comfort and joy. I've seen that musical for sure. What about, are there any red flags? Anything when a student walks in the room, if this happens, that you should go, ugh, this might not be the student for me?
yes, not to sound too cheesy. If a student goes through the entire audition, which it's fast, I mean, you have like, you know, 7 or 8 minutes or something. Mm-hmm. But if they get through that whole thing and haven't smiled at all, we wonder about that. And I know you're nervous. I know you're nervous, but just trying to find a way to be congenial and friendly. Because again, we're auditioning both you to see about your preparation and your talent, but also to see if we will work together well for 4 years.
Hmm. What about, so you guys accept videos as video auditions, but don't require pre-screens, right?
Correct. We're one of the only schools that do not require any pre-screen.
So how does it change in terms of the advice of if I were going to send in a video audition, let's say for whatever reason, I can't make one of those live audition dates. Is there anything that you'd feel like specific advice for those video auditions?
Yes. So we do accept video auditions through the platform Accepted. I think a lot of schools do that. And you upload your materials. I highly recommend slating those materials because in your slate, that's the way we get a sense of your personality. If we can't see you in the room and be there with your energy, let us have that a little bit in the slate. And then make sure that you have great lighting and good sound. So that we really do see and hear you the way we, as close to the way we would in person.
Mm-hmm. I like it. This is a, not to put you on the spot, this is a tough question, but can you think of a recent audition? It could be from this last year or from the past couple of years that was just blew you out of the water. And if so, what made it so great?
Yes, there were several this semester that I want to say, I want to say blew me out of the water, but that I immediately circled 10 on my little sheet. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there are times where they walk in the room and they begin and you just know that you want them. And those auditions are confident. They're joyful. They are well prepared. And the student understands the situation. So they know that that time is theirs. And they don't have to rush through anything. They don't let their nerves kind of make them feel insecure. Mm-hmm. Somehow they have been able to find a confidence and a maturity and a knowledge and an understanding of what this process is so that they are just comfortable and confident.
I love it. Comfort and joy. We're getting some themes here. I'm into it. I have to play that theme. Maybe I'll have my editor put this in. Well, comfort and joy at the bottom. If you had to estimate how much of the decision for you in that room is based on the skill displayed, so you said, you know, I want to see your singing, your acting, and maybe your dancing, depending on the audition, in that room, versus those intangibles of what they were like as a human being. If you asked them interview questions, if you gave them adjustments, how mm-hmm. much is more about the true skills displayed and how much is more about those intangibles of, do I want to spend 4 years with you?
Wow. Okay. That's tough because you must have the skills, you know, that's, you must have them. Mm-hmm. We are a school of music. And so pitch is really important. Pitch is something that will, you could have such incredible acting skills and be an amazing dancer and we can love you in the room. But if your pitch is off, we know that you're going to struggle for 4 years in a school of music and we don't think that we're a good match for you. It doesn't mean we don't think you can make it in this industry. But pitch is a really important aspect. So I don't know if I can say 50-50, like half of it is, yes, you must have the skills. And half of it is that intangible confidence or commitment, that preparation. So maybe it's 50-50.
All right, Seth, throw more percentages at you. So okay. Now you want the, it doesn't have to be in percentage form, of course, but now you have an artistic yes, you're interested in them from what we've seen acting, singing, dancing wise. Then how? What does that involve in the university sense of academics in terms of grades, SATs, essays, et cetera? How does that work if you want a student artistically? How does that interaction work with the university for you?
It's pretty rare that the university has not accepted a student that we have said, you know, we're dying to have. If I do have a communication line with the admissions office. And so if there is a student we've accepted and they've said, well, they're borderline mm-hmm. academically, we can dig deeper and maybe get some references or some letters from counselors or educators in their high school experience. But typically, musical theater draws students who are pretty good academically. And so it hasn't been a big issue. But you do have to apply to the university and get accepted to the university as well as the musical theater program.
We're going to have to burrow down on that someday of why it is true that musical theater draws these academic overage. I found that to be true. I'm like, let's mm-hmm. see your academics. And 9 out of 10 times is like a 4.0. Like how? And musical theater? How are you doing this?
I mean, in 15 years, I can only count twice where we had a student that we were just gung ho to have and they didn't get accepted by the university mm-hmm. twice in 15 years.
Well, speaking of 15 years, it was a great segue to looking at the kind of specific challenges of the past decade, and maybe especially the past few years since the pandemic. I'd love just to hear about like what adjustments you and Belmont have made to kind of prepare your students for this ever-changing business, whether that gets into, we can talk about the sort of demands of racial equity that have come up. We can talk about the demands of a virtual business and how that's affecting. I'd just love to hear about how you have changed in the past couple of years, especially.
Wow. So that's, I don't know if you can hear my dog is drinking in the background, but wow, that is a big question. And we have made a lot of adjustments. Interestingly, those adjustments needed to happen and were already on their way, I think, within the industry. And then, you know, whether political activities or pandemics or different things happened to push us into a new era. And I think that's fabulous. I think it's wonderful. So I think we were one of the few universities to maintain our performance and teaching throughout the pandemic. We did kind of shift to what we call high flex classes, where we stayed online for most individual teaching and then masked up and did space social distancing for our rehearsals. We were able to produce two new works the fall of the pandemic, and then we did two works with our Equity Theater here, the Children's Theater, in the spring, and we did a fully staged production, or yeah, I guess it was fully staged production of Bright Star, which was recorded and then streamed. So, and then since that point, we produced four things this year as well. And so we've been able to pivot back to in-person instruction, and we were masked and socially distanced. And then Belmont removed the mask mandate when numbers dropped. They keep a pretty good eye on it, and we pivot back when we need to. But 99.9% of our program is vaccinated, which I really like, because then if you do get exposed, there's just a shorter time that you have to be in quarantine, and so you can get back to business quicker.
Who's the one student that's not? 99.9.
That's pretty good,
who's
right?
Who's the one?
Other changes that have happened. We were already kind of verging towards being a more open community with more broad vision of what casting looks like. And yet we've moved even further towards that, both as far as racial lines are considered, but also body type. I think the industry is looking at the human being as a whole and not as this little robotic caricature of what it should be. And so you can look at some of our casting of our productions in the past and see that we have definitely, we're definitely diverse in how we cast and in how we see our students. We developed, I think it was a couple of years ago, the students came to me with a diversity document, like a almost a proclamation. And the faculty took that and, you know, took their ideas and created an actual kind of piece of writing that we have in our bylaws now, and it's on our syllabi, and we really respect that, and we take it to heart. We take it very seriously.
Yeah, I do think that the idea of, it's a place where the colleges are going to be leading the industry and have been for a number of years, of breaking down some of the type ideas of the box that we put people into, and now we're really seeing the industry react back and honor some of that as the students graduating are saying, no, don't put me in this box. That's not what I believe in.
Yeah.
It's really cool to see that.
We try to do a balance of telling a student, you know, type is still here. It's still a thing. Type is a helpful boundary that allows casting directors to do their jobs well. And so it's here. It also is a part of storytelling, you know. So we try to do that balance of helping a student understand what their type might be and to learn appropriate materials that they can then showcase that, but also, yes, work on this material that is outside of type. Yes, broaden that horizon. Yes, make me see you in a different way. And we absolutely encourage that and work with our students on that.
I love it. And then what about the 2022-23 audition season? Are you keeping virtual auditions moving forward? Are we back to all live in-person auditions? Do you know how that's going to work this fall?
We had a combination this past year, and I imagine we'll maintain that. We have, I think, 5 live audition dates set. I don't know if they're on our website yet, but they will be soon if they're not on there. And then we do accept the virtual auditions as well. So it's a combination. It means we are seeing almost double the number of auditions, but that's okay.
There's more work for you.
Yes.
Well, our last question then, what piece of advice, if I'm a prospective student or a prospective parent, I'm beginning my college journey, I'm looking at Belmont among other schools, what would you be your big advice to me as I kind of launch this process for myself?
Well, I probably have 2 or 3 ideas. Number one, create a spreadsheet and make sure you know the requirements for the different schools at which you are going to apply. Because so often our school, we have one little item that's different than other schools, and people, it takes them, it kind of catches them by surprise. We require one classical piece, and that means that you have to prepare that in advance and kind of have that in your pocket. There are a couple other schools that also like that, so just know that in advance. Create your spreadsheet, kind of know what is expected. Number two, I would say, if possible, if Belmont becomes one of your top five, come see us. Come shadow the students, meet me, see our beautiful campus, and get a feel for what the atmosphere is like, because you won't know the universities you're looking at until you go see them. And then maybe you don't need to do that until you know your acceptances or until you've narrowed it down, but that's definitely. And then my third thing would be preparation. Start now. Get your materials honed and chosen this summer before your hectic senior year begins. Memorize your monologues, memorize your songs, work them until you're sick of them, so that when you go into the audition, maybe you have a slight cold, maybe you're tired, maybe you're in production week. None of that is going to phase how well you know your material and perform it for the audition. You may think, oh, I'm tired, they noticed, but we won't if you are completely prepared with that material.
Such great advice. Well, Nancy, if people want to follow more of Belmont, or if they want to check out more stuff, do we want them following us on social media, going to the website? Where would you sort of recommend that people find more information?
Yeah, the first and first place would be Google Belmont University Musical Theater, and you're going to come to our web page. And on that page, it has lots and lots of tabs. I want you to kind of check it out. There's one towards the side at the top called Careers, and that is where you can see all of the different areas that our students have are working and continue to work and have worked in the industry. And there are some highlights of students that you will recognize for sure. So that is your first place. And then Instagram, the Belmont University School of Music. I believe it's probably the CMPA. It's probably Belmont CMPA, College of Music and Performing Arts, has an Insta account, and you'll learn a lot there. Belmont University itself has an Instagram account, but also our students have started some that are not kind of officially Belmont, but they are each by class. And so if you look up BUMT22, you're going to see the graduates who just graduated. BUMT, it may be 2022, or BUMT 2023. Those are our upcoming seniors. So that's a great way to find out on Instagram. You can follow some of their journeys.
And I will put all of that in the show notes for people to click and follow if they want to check all this out. Nancy, thank you so much for the time today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate being able to share about our musical theater experience at Belmont, because it's pretty fabulous.
Well, I hope you enjoyed getting to hear Nancy. I thought she was so bright and easy to chat with and very clear in distinguishing her school, which I thought was really helpful for all of you. As far as a takeaway, it is hard for me to avoid jumping on talking about joy and its distinction from happiness. I strongly co-sponsor that point, you know, the importance of bringing joy into your work, even if you're not a bubbly person. But I talked about that a bit in Catherine Moore's episode from CMU, and I thought this might be a nice chance to eat our vegetables instead of going off on a joy dessert and maybe define a few terms. I want to talk specifically about degrees a bit, in that I think there's some confusion sometimes about these differences. You'll remember, for our regular listeners, from Neil Patrick Stewart's episode on Texas State's acting program, we kind of described a bit of the spectrum of BFA Conservatory to BFA Liberal Arts to audition-based BA to non-audition-based BA, and sort of how that goes maybe from left to right in terms of the types of programs and the amount of credit hours you'll spend in acting and musical theater if that's what you're pursuing. That's probably the most helpful spectrum to be thinking about as you're looking at a scope of schools, since it will vary significantly the kind of training you get. Nancy talked about their BA program, that's more on the right side of the list, being a non-performance program, which is often true of programs that have multiple like this, though far from always true. Plenty of BA programs are performance-based programs. But the distinction I really want to point out is between BFA and BM, that's a Bachelor of Fine Arts versus a Bachelor of Music. When you're talking about a musical theater education, for all intents and purposes, you can think of these degrees as being very similar in terms of their amount of specialization and most distinguishable from the BA than from each other, or more distinguishable, I should say. A bit like when we talked about ED versus EA versus regular decision early, the most important one that is not like the other part there was the ED, and that the ED was a binding choice. And here that it's the BA in terms of the difference of credit hours, right? You heard Nancy talking about the difference of credit hours is pretty insignificant between the BFA and the BM in terms of what you're actually doing. However, just to break it down a little bit more, a Bachelor of Music will often mean, like Nancy was saying, that the program is a bit more focused on music than the other three legs of the stool. Maybe there's additional music theory. Maybe they'll encourage or require other musical subjects that go beyond traditional musical theater skills. Most schools will not offer you the choice like Belmont does. That's really actually rare and kind of unique, but will rather offer either a BFA in musical theater or a BM in musical theater. Now, this is a different, though related, question to the question of whether the program is housed within the School of Music or housed within the School of Drama. Nancy points out that her program is housed within the School of Music, which can tend to indicate that their focus will be more coming from that direction. Some schools have their musical theater programs within the School of Music and their acting programs within the School of Drama, and some will have their MT and acting programs within the School of Drama, but their voice majors and piano majors, etc., within the School of Music. This can be indicative of focus, but it's not necessarily going to radically change the composition of your education. But what it can change, and I thought it was really interesting that Nancy pointed this out, is the kind of people you're surrounded by. Nancy talked about the energy of other musicians. You also heard Vicky talk about this from Baldwin Wallace as well, that, you know, it's a BM within the School of Music for Baldwin Wallace as well, which might be different. That kind of energy of musicians might be different than being surrounded by other kinds of artists. And for the schools where the programs are in different schools, it's also worth noting there may be differing levels of interaction. So sometimes there is true cross-pollination, meaning the musical theater majors take acting in the drama school, maybe dance in the dance school, and all the acting majors get to take voice within the School of Music and with the School of Music faculty. And sometimes there is almost complete separation, right? There's MT-only acting faculty. So there's actors or acting faculty who only work within the School of Music, you know, with the musical theater majors, or dance faculty that are only for dance majors, not musical theater dancers, and different faculty for those dancing MTs. That can be really radically different from school to school. And sometimes with musical theater, given that you've got almost three different full majors, you could be going to three different schools. You could be going to the School of Music, a School of Dance, and a School of Acting or a School of Drama, it'd be more likely to be called. That is not to give a value judgment on any of these options, but parents and students will often ask me, hey, how can you distinguish between these programs? So I think this is, when you talk about artistically distinguishing, there's a few relevant distinctions there. There you go, a nice long takeaway to lead in our break. I'm sorry you had to hear it with me having a cold. I'm sure you can hear it in my voice. My sweet little daughter is going to daycare these days, and boy, what she brings home is real. If you're going to be missing us and worried you might not remember when those new episodes are starting to drop, please hit that follow button for us. We'd also appreciate you if over the break you're missing us and you want to rate and review us wherever you found us. I suggest 5 stars if you truly love a summer break, and an ironic 5 stars if you fear you might break a loved summer. If you're interested in working with MTCA for help with your individual prep for your college audition journey, please check us out at mtcollegeauditions.com and follow us on all the socials media. As a reminder, I'm at Charmer7 on Instagram, and I'm giving away a big prize to my 10,000th follower. You're just going to have to get a few thousand other people to follow me first. To my young artists out there mapping their journeys, thank you, thank you, thank you for an amazing first year of podcasting. I will see you in 6 weeks.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah, not there.
No,
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.